Hello, party people, and welcome to the second episode of Walk and Talk, featuring yours truly, Michael DeAngelis III. I'm super excited to talk about this topic with you guys, but first, I just wanted to share a couple things before I started. Where I'm walking today. Currently, I'm walking down the Schuylkill Boardwalk. I love the Schuylkill Boardwalk. It's where I walk a lot. It's where I take friends on walks. It's where I go on runs. It's a really great place to just walk around and just look at the city and just have a good time. The topic today, I told you in the last podcast, was going to be about the way that Philly sports fans and Philly sports were portrayed in social media. But I've cut out the Philly sports and focused really more on the fan base aspect of this because I just wanted to, I feel like there was so much about the fans that I wanted to talk about, and I just wanted to explain more about the fans, and I could want to do sports in a different podcast because there's so many things to talk about there as well. Also, I'm going to try to keep this as unbiased as possible and just keep it with cold hard facts that other fan base, that with having with our fan base and other fan bases, and like I said, I'm a Philly sports fan, so I just want to keep this where you guys understand why they're portrayed differently. Now, Philly fans have been getting a bad rap from the media for so long, and personally, I think there's a couple reasons why they've gotten that bad rap. I think number one, they're haunted by their history. Now, a lot of things have happened to Phillies fans in their history. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. But I think that people don't think of, you know, what they've done in the present. And they get a lot more hate because they recently won the Super Bowl, which I'll also talk about as well. I also think that Philly sports fans are misunderstood. I feel as if Philly sports fans are extremely loyal and expecting the best in their players and their teams. So yeah, once in a while they boo their players and they do some crazy stuff, which doesn't really relate to the loyalty, just relates to the percent of fans that don't really relate to most Philly fans. And they're just misunderstood. I think that a lot of other fan bases have done things in their past that prove they're not a bad fan base, but just prove that they're loyal as well. Philly fans are also plagued with being obnoxious. But like I said, just because, you know, we like to, like, we're loyal fans and we have confidence in our team, it doesn't really make us obnoxious. It makes us hopeful. And we have so much hope and we have so much fun watching our teams. And sometimes, you know, we lose, but we still have fun watching the game, that people like to take it out on us, take it out on the Philly fans. Now, where is this all rooted from? And I think we need to start by talking about the Eagles, because the Eagles are notoriously known for being the worst fan base. I'm sure if you looked up the worst fans on Google, the first, second, or third article will be something about Eagles fans. CBS NFL actually wrote an article, 10 Reasons Why Philadelphia fans are the worst fan base, or the Eagles fans are the worst fan base in all of sports. And I just want to talk to you about a couple of those reasons that they've put on their list. The first thing on their list was something that happened 50 years ago that no one really knows the background to, but they just think about and is on the news every year. And that is when Philadelphia fans threw snowballs at Santa. Now, let me give you a quick background of Philadelphia fans throwing snowballs at Santa. The year was 1968. I repeat, 1968. The Eagles were starting 0-11, okay? Any fan base would be upset if their fans started 0-11. They then went on a two-game win streak. That two-game win streak was hurting their opportunity to getting the first pick in the draft. That draft year, O.J. Simpson was in that draft. Okay, a couple more things. this was annoying fans because they wanted the first pick, and O.J. Simpson was supposed to be one of the great, an all-time great. Santa was supposed to perform at a halftime show. It was a blizzard, may I add. It was freezing. It was snowing. Fans were upset with their team. They were playing the Vikings. Forgot to add that. The actual Santa didn't show up. The actual Santa did not show up. Where was he? Probably eat some cheesesteaks. Probably sleeping on the couch or something. St. Nick was tired, you know? I think they then found a replacement Santa in the crowd. His name was Frank Olivo. Rest in peace, though. He died in 2015, and he's been known as a Phillies legend in some ways because you hear about Philly fans, hear about Eagles fans throwing snowballs at Santa every year in the news, so they always mention him. He was then pelted with snowballs and booed. Now, I understand the Eagles fans were frustrated about their season and wanted the number one pick, which they didn't get, by the way. They actually got the number three pick. Atlanta got number two. And they picked Leroy Keyes, a player who never went to the Pro Bowl once. Side note, could you imagine if Atlanta... This is just something that really tripped me out that I have to tell you guys about. Could you imagine if Atlanta or the Eagles got the number one draft pick instead of the Bills and picked O.J. Simpson? Would that have changed his future? Would that have changed his outcome in life? God, that's like a butterfly effect thing right there. Jesus, that trips me out. Now, Rolling Stone says, yes, Philly fans booed and snowballed Santa, but that was 50 years ago. NPR also wrote an article saying that Eagles fans' reputation is overblown. Like I said, they're loyal, hardworking, long-suffering fans who get lumped in with the 0.5% of Visigoths. And Visigoths are pretty much barbarians. And they're haunted by their history. Now, I'm going to go over a couple of things from the CBS NFL article. I already talked about Santa. I'm not going over all the points because there was 10 things there. So I decided to pick some of the ones where... you know, I can relate with other fan bases, showing that, you know, we're not just the only fan base that has done this. First one, like I said, snowballs and throwing items. 2018, Kansas City Chiefs, playing the Colts in the playoffs, started throwing snowballs on the field. Almost hit the punter. Andy Reid was freaking furious. Are we going to hear about this in the news? Probably not. We probably won't hear about it every year. We might hear about it next year and then not the next year after that. But we still hear about Santa. December 23rd, 1995. The Chargers and Giants are playing. The game is... The Giants finished their season 5-11. The Chargers were playing at the Giants Stadium. They were playing in snow. A large amount of fans started throwing snowballs onto the field. They actually hit one of the Chargers' equipment managers under his left eye by the name of Sid Brooks, and he was knocked out. A 60-year-old man. They hit him under the eye, knocked him out. He had to get taken to the locker room, pretty much woken up, make sure he was okay. 175 fans were ejected, and 15 fans were arrested. Now, I was telling my friend Azzy about this the other day. I called him up, told him about some of the research I was doing, and he had no clue about this. You know why? Because this is barely ever in social media. It's because they probably apologized in the paper, which they did, to the Chargers. Oh, we're sorry. We're sorry, guys. but I'm not talking trash about Giants fans. I have a lot of friends who are Giants fans, and my stepdad's a Giants fan. And they're a very loyal fan base as well. But I'm just pointing out the fact that some of these events are never presented in the media. May I add, still, this is more recent than, even though it's in 1995, it's more recent than 1968 when people throw snowballs at Santa. Now, we're also known, the Philadelphia fans are also known for throwing D batteries. That was one time, but I'll give you the event which happened. It was a 1999 Phillies game. They were throwing them at, I believe it was a pitcher. His name was J.D. Drew. And he originally started with the Phillies and then refused to re-sign with us and then went to the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, they then played the Phillies at the home, and I think the Philly fans were upset with him just leaving the team because the Philadelphia fans like loyal players, as do a lot of other fans. I'm sure Steelers fans are quite upset with anything going on with Antonio Brown because he's not being loyal to the franchise. Same with Le'Veon Bell. I mean, they did get a pretty good replacement. I think it's the same with every player that people love. Does that really even out to throwing D batteries? No. I could be honest there. But there have been so many other instances where trash and other things were thrown that need to be talked about. In 2012, the wild card game between St. Louis Cardinals and Atlanta Braves. Due to the it was some infield fly rule that happened, and pretty much they just started throwing a shit ton of trash on the field, and that made the players leave the field. There was so much trash being thrown that players had to leave the field. Doesn't get talked about that much. But it's still there. Bottles, trash, so many different items. The problem is when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, Duracell decided to post something talking about, oh, hide your batteries. I mean, I guess they were trying to make it a joke, but at the same time, people could look at that and be like, those Eagles fans, those Philly fans, oh, they're psycho. But really, that's a very small percent of people. Because every fan base has these psychopaths, but they've picked the Eagles because of our history. Also, the Eagles fans have matured. I think that people need to understand that most of the things that have happened are before 2000. I'll talk about the Super Bowl and some of the events that happened there in a little bit, but there's so many other events with other fan bases that have happened that are much worse, but people refuse to accept that. Can't they be the worst fan base now? No, they won't. They won't say that. Another point of the CBS NFL article, while I'm still here. Mo Irvin's injury was cheered for in 1999. It was a game against the Cowboys. Michael Irvin played for the Cowboys. He was injured, and Eagles fans were cheering for him and cheering when he was injured. There's so many other fan bases that have cheered for players that were injured. And I can give you a couple more recent ones. A Bleacher Report article published in 2014. Two teams that were cheering for players that are injured. One of this was in the NFC Championship game, January 2014. Navarro Bowman, a player for the 49ers, he was a linebacker, had to be carted off the field when they were playing the Seahawks. Seahawks fans were cheering him, and while he was being carted off, were throwing trash on him. Do I hear about this in the news? Was this written in an article about 10 worst reasons why Seahawks fans are the worst? No. It's going to be put in an Eagles article. It's going to be put in a Philly fan article. Also, 2014, Panthers cheered when Johnny Manziel got injured. Jay Money, you know him, the money man. Injured, I was unsure if it was a season-ending injury, but I know he was injured, and he really only played a little bit in the NFL, but fans still cheer when he was injured. Not really talked about it. Cam Newton was like, oh, fans were despicable, but, I mean, just talk about it. Just talk about the other fan bases that have done this, and it's not just Eagles fans. I believe it was in 2010. There was a violent brawl in the 49ers stadium. People had to be taken to the hospital. People were kicked out, ejected, everything. But no one really knows about it because it's never brought up in the news. We're still hearing about so many different things the Eagles fans have done, but what about the current things that other fan bases are doing? It's just people have some incentive to make Eagles fans look and Philly fans look like bad people, but really there is a lot worse things that other fan bases have done. Like I said, we'll talk about the Super Bowl now. So, some of the things that were on the article were, I'll just give you the article title for one of them. Philadelphia fans can't seem to stop punching horses. One fan socked a horse in the face. He's a fucking psycho. That's what he is. I mean, who thinks after they win the Super Bowl, oh, I'm going to go into the city and punch a police horse. Now, who the heck punches a horse? They're such sweet animals. Like to neigh and eat apples and carrots. Like, that is... Who punches a horse? Don't relate that man to Philadelphia fans, because he's just a psycho. I'm glad he got arrested, because who punches a horse? Another thing. One of the things in the article was Philadelphia Eagles and fans were wearing dog masks. Okay. The dog masks were something that drove the team all year, being the underdogs. They were picked as underdogs for every playoff game, including the Super Bowl. They were picked as never winning. Wearing those dog masks was something that drove the team, and a lot of teams have something that drive them. The Saints, Who Dat Nation, the Raiders, Raider Nation. You see so many other different fan bases and teams that have something that drives them. In this case, the Philadelphia fans, and that was their driving thing, that they were the underdogs. Now, I don't think that makes the team a bad team or the fans a bad team. It was just something that drove them. Just like the Patriots today, right now I'm watching it. The Patriots' driving factor is worse still here. The Patriots have been getting, oh, what the Patriots done every single year, and they prove that they're not. We're still here. That's something that speaks for a lot of fan bases. I think that having a driving factor for fans or a team doesn't make you a bad fan base. I just think that it makes people just have more confidence in their team. And that doesn't make you obnoxious either. Maybe just any driving thing is obnoxious in that case then. Then why is the underdog thing the most obnoxious? What about Who Dat Nation? Literally, people dress up as like gladiators, and like I was watching the game, like Darth Maul and black and gold and all this stuff, and they're cheering for their team. They're passionate about their team. They're passionate about what drives their team. But that's loyalty, not obnoxiousness. A couple other things. Another thing in the article was, fans booed the pick for Donovan McNabb. Yes, Eagles fans did boo the pick for Donovan McNabb, but he's now the beloved number 5 of the franchise, and his number is retired in the stadium. Okay, we made a mistake. The Eagles fans and the Philly fans made a mistake right there, but there's so many other fan bases that have done the same. The Jets are notorious for booing picks, but can you really blame the Jets? Like, I think of the Jets as just a never-ending, like, they have so much potential, but then in the end, they'll end at, like, some terrible record. And then it's just like, oh, it's a classic Jets season. They picked Blair Thomas 2nd overall, passing on Emmitt Smith and Cortez Kennedy. Emmitt Smith to the Cowboys, Cortez Kennedy to the Chargers, who are both Hall of Famers, may I add. Knicks fans in 2015 and 2018 booed Porzingis and Kevin Knox. Porzingis being their franchise player, Kevin Knox putting up a great rookie year, averaging about 12.5 points a game, 4.5 rebounds, and about 1 assist. That's through his half of his rookie season, so he has about so much more to go. The Eagles have matured as well. All of these things were before 2000, pretty much. 1968. Santa. Booing Emmitt Smith. Booing Michael Irvin. 1999. Donovan McNabb. I think that was either 1999 or 2000. It was somewhere around there. Maybe a little before. Okay, Super Bowl. We'll go back to Super Bowl for a little bit. Yes, we knocked over a couple light posts. Yes, we broke some fans broke some windows, some psychopaths. But look at like all the fun the fans were having in a way. They were celebrating a championship that we've been craving for so long. The city had never won a championship. You don't think that other fans at the first time winning a Super Bowl that they wouldn't be ecstatic and doing some crazy shit? Only three people were arrested that night. May I add, that includes the psycho horseman. Now, in Boston, after the Patriots lost the Super Bowl, 2,000 people in Amherst came out and were destroying things, throwing shit, and six people were arrested that night. What's more obnoxious, the three people or six? The winners who were arrested or the losers? I think that's up for you guys to decide. Personally, I know my answer, but like I said, I'm not talking shit on the Patriots because I have a lot of Pats fans, and some of them are a lot more humble than others. But that's okay, because there's a lot more humble Eagles fans than others. And Philly fans. I don't want to keep talking about the Eagles because there's some other things that and other sports that, you know, need to be covered. So let's talk about the Phillies real quick. The Phillies are notoriously known for, you know, fights in the stands. Yeah, some psychopath, you know, projectile vomited on a policeman's daughter. Okay, that's one guy. That's one person. That's not a majority of Phillies fans. And I think that people need to understand that. That this is a very small percent. And just like it's a small percent for all these other teams, but Philly fans get the most hate because of our history. I'm just going to talk about a couple other baseball teams. So, fights in the stands. My cousin actually experienced something exactly like this where there was a fight in the stands. And so my cousins, they moved down to Boston. They moved down to Texas, and they're Texas. You know, they met a lot of people down in Texas. And, you know, that's where they met their fiancés and their future wives. And they took them to a Phillies game here. And one of their future wives was wearing a Texas Rangers jersey. And Phillies fans were, you know, just hooting and, I guess, like, just being annoying. And, like, of course, my cousin was sticking up for her. And eventually, everyone who was in the altercation got ejected. So, yes, you see Phillies fans are upset when, you know, they see another team that's wearing different jerseys. But I think we need to talk about other teams where this has happened. We'll talk about the Dodgers. The Dodgers are known as one of the worst fighting fan bases in baseball. But no one discusses it. But let's talk about it. 2015, NLDS, a mother and a son saw a Mets fan outside the stadium after the Mets won and beat him into critical condition. I have a Mets friend. His name is Kyle. If I heard that Kyle was beat up by a bunch of LA Dodgers fans, we would squat up and go find those guys. And, you know, we would confront them and be like, yo, like, what are you doing? This is our boy. Like, back off. Like, just because he's here, just supporting his team doesn't mean you have to beat him into critical condition, you know? Also, 2011 home opener. I believe it was against the Giants, San Francisco Giants. Fans fractured a man's skull, and he had permanent brain damage from it. And just because he was wearing a Giants jersey. The Dodgers had to pay the man $18 million. $18 million. I don't blame them, but where is this? Why is this not talked about every year? Just like, you know, Phillies fans are the worst and everything like that. Where is the Dodgers fans are beating people into critical condition, giving them permanent brain damage? Oh, he just didn't want to talk about that. This is more current, too. This was in 2011 that happened, and 2015 was the other Mets fan. But still, people want to talk about Phillies fans throwing D batteries. I don't know what's worse, a D battery that didn't even make contact, or putting someone into critical condition or a separate occasion, giving someone permanent brain damage. Sixers, let's talk about the Sixers for a little bit. The Sixers, there's not much about the Sixers. The Sixers were pretty bad for a while and have been progressively getting better each and every year, which is good for the city because, you know, that those years in which the fans were struggling to watch every game. But they've improved. There's not much about the fans, I could tell you, there, because research-wise, there wasn't a lot. It was just more about how the Sixers improved. Let's talk about the Flyers a little bit. There's a couple articles that were very large. There was a lot of clickbait articles with the Flyers, and I think I just need to discuss those and address them. One of them was, Flyers fans boo the fight against cancer. Now, I don't think anyone got the full story there because it was... So let me explain. Obviously, it didn't go well when that happened, but it was Sidney Crosby out on the ice talking about the fight against cancer and, you know, curing cancer and everything. And most fan bases do not like Sidney Crosby, one of them notoriously being known as the Flyers. I know a lot of my friends who are Rangers fans, Devils fans, don't really like Sidney Crosby. Bruins fans don't really like him. He's just... I don't know, he's got some attitude problems. So they were actually booing him, not what he was saying, but it didn't bode over well due to the fact that they was talking about the fight against cancer. Now, Flyers fans are pretty bad sometimes, I'm not going to lie. You know, with the throwing bracelets and the throwing trash with the Capitals and Penguins in the 2016 and 2018, I think that's pretty bad. But, you know, you look back at, like, all the celebrations that we've had, that the fans have had here, the Super Bowl celebrations, for example. You know, they knocked over light posts, they broke some windows. But, like, the Canadians have five well-known riots in which a large amount of money has been, in damages, has been displayed. I believe it was 1993. $2.5 million of damages were caused. Lighting cop cars on fire. Breaking so much crap. Doing so much damage. But it's not talked about. They rather talk about how Philly is destroying their city. 2005, another riot, $500,000 in damages. I mean, guys, let's talk about this for a second. I think that Philly fans have matured a little bit. Flyers fans, they're brutal. Okay. Philly's fans still get a bad rap for their history, but you need to look at the more present fights. And Eagles fans, yes, we've had some bad history. We've done some crazy stuff. You could still even look at it in a way, if through my podcast, if you really wanted, you could still look at it in a way, oh, Eagles fans have done all that stuff. They're the worst. But really, it's the past. Look at the other fan bases of the present who are doing obnoxious things. Still, the Chiefs fans, throwing snowballs. They were pointing, they had a laser pointer. They were pointing at Tom Brady when he was playing in their game. Who the hell does that? The only time I ever see that is in soccer, in European soccer. Yes, they're passionate. Yes, Eagles fans are passionate. But we see that, they see that with so many other fan bases. You see that with the Giants fans. You see that with the Pats fans. You see that with any fan base. They're passionate about their team. But that doesn't make them a terrible fan base. It makes them loyal. It just made them hungry for a championship. They wanted something, and they got it. They got what they wanted. And then they celebrated. And then there were some psychos who punched horses and did some crazy shit, but it doesn't make them the worst. Think about the World Series when the Boston just won. Didn't they flip over a car? I believe some guy ate poop after someone ate poop at the Eagles parade. Honestly, that is the weirdest thing, guys. I think that is just insane that people are going around eating poop. Just some psychopaths, honestly. But I really want to have more people on this podcast talking about sports. And, you know, I have a lot of sports fans. I have a lot of Pats fans. who are loyal, who are confident in their team. Azzy, my friend Azzy, Rohan, Sam, they all love the Pats. They're obsessed with the Pats. For you, for those of you guys who don't know them, they're wonderful people. I love them all to death. And they're very confident in their team. I'm sure if I asked them right now if the Pats are going to win the Super Bowl, they would say yes. Because they're confident in their team. They're hopeful for their team. Doesn't make them obnoxious. I have a bunch of Giants friends as well. Kyle, Ant, Nico, my stepdad Alex, also Giants fans. If I asked them if the Giants are going to have a good season next year, I'm sure they would say somewhat decent. They would say they were going to have a good season. They're going to say that Saquon Barkley, their savior, everything. And he's a great running back. Nothing against them. But they're loyal. That doesn't make them the worst. And then I have a lot of Eagles fans as well. Litsky Bros, Jack and Ryan. You know, my whole family. My dad. So many other people. My friend Tuzel, Matt. They're all loyal fan bases. And, you know, some people are a lot more hopeful than others. Like, if you were to ask me if the Eagles would win every game this season, I would have said yes, but that doesn't make me obnoxious. It just makes me a loyal fan. Guys, I hope I just showed you a couple things of the social media in which really just open your eyes, because I still think that Eagles fans are plagued, and Philly fans are plagued by history, but we're not looking at the current events. And that's the crazy thing, because there's so many different current events with other fan bases that could say, you could say they're the worst, but they won't. The social media won't. Guys, I love you guys so much. And I just want to say thank you so much for supporting me in this podcast. And I can't wait to have more people on. Wrapping up, like I said, Eagles fans are misunderstood and they definitely matured through their history. Yes, there are some psychotic fans in which they're portraying social media as, you know, just crazy. Some of them are, but that's a very small percentage. But you have to look at the fans that were very humble and loyal and just wanted a championship. I'll never forget when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, one of the biggest memories, other than, you know, going into the city and having a lot of fun with my friends, was, you know, two of my friends calling their grandfather and saying, "We did it, we did it, we did it." And that's a memory that will stick in my head forever, because I mean, yes, it was my team winning the Super Bowl, and just like that made me so happy, because every fan base has generations, and like some of the fans appreciate their team so much, and just the generations. You see the generation of generation. Fans, sports are passed down from generation to generation. Like, for example, dad's an Eagles fan, grandfather's an Eagles fan. Their grandfather's an Eagles fan, their dad's a diehard Eagles fan. And you just see like the happiness in what fan bases have. But social media just likes to look at the very small percent of fans that are absolutely crazy. But every fan base has that crazy aspect, okay? Think about the violent current events that happen with other fan bases and so many different things that makes other fan bases more obnoxious than others. But we'll still cheer to this day. Oh, it's those Philly fans, it's those Eagles fans. But it's every fan base. That's what I'm trying to say. Guys, I'm super excited for my next podcast as well. I'm going to try to get someone on the podcast. I want to get someone on here. I think that'd just be a lot of fun. I've already done the first two podcasts where it's just me talking to you guys. Reach out to me, guys. Reach out to me to come on, because honestly, I'll talk about anything. If you guys want to talk about something really cool, like, I'm down. I did my fair share of research on this one, because I just felt as if I needed to represent so many different fan bases, because it's not just one fan base. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not just the Eagles fan base, the Philly fan base, that is doing crazy things and that should be plagued for just being a bad fan base, for being the worst fans. But there's so many other ones. There's so many other fans that have done so many crazy things. And I think you just need to open. Don't look at all the clickbait, all right? And just listen to a humble Eagles fan. Like I said, I'm not trying to be biased. I'm just trying to point out the fact that there are so many other fan bases that have done worse but isn't portrayed in media. It's because of the history of Philly fans has been plagued. Guys, I love you all so much, and thank you for listening to this podcast. Please message, text me. Please reach out. If you want to be on the podcast, reach out. You can put on Anchor, which is one of the platforms, you can voice message. And if you want to voice message me, please go ahead. If you want me to talk about anything, I will talk about it, okay? I love everyone who's supporting me with this podcast. Thank you so much. This is Walk and Talk Episode 2. And I try to be unbiased as possible. You guys can definitely talk to me about this podcast because I want to hear your opinions. All right? Love you guys so much. Everyone, this is Michael DeAngelis signing off.